Mitzvah Tavcha 420. Mitzvah Kriya Shema Shacharis Varvis, that we have to recite the Shema in morning and evening. Shnitzavino Likros Bechol Yom Arvis V'Shacharis, that we were commanded to read every day, both in the evening and in the morning. Drum roll. Pasuk Echad Min HaTorah. One verse of the Torah. We'll get to that. We'll discuss that more. V'zehu Shema. I'm going to say the full pasuk, so we're allowed to say Shem Hashem. Nobody should be freaked out. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. That hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Okay. So what does he mean that it's just one pasuk? We know we have to read three whole parshiyos.
Well, third one's
Rabbanah. According to the Sefer Achinuch, everything else is the Rabbanah besides the first pasuk.
All right.
Well. So there are a lot of shitas in the Rishonim exactly what is the deraisa obligation of Krishma. According to the Rambam, is the most expansive. He holds that all three parshiyos are deraisa. The first two parshiyos because they mention the term v'dibarta bam b'shivtacha v'vesecha, because those parshas are the ones that contain the admonition to recite the words of Torah morning and evening. So those are for sure deraisa. And then the last one is deraisa because it stems from the obligation of remembering the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. That's the last pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokechem asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. So according to the Rambam, all three are the rest. Yeah?
Yeah, the last one, you could say that particular mitzvah just by saying some other pasuk was said that.
That is seemingly true.
Yeah.
That is a good point. That's not, the Rambam does say that the three parshas are the rest. So these three parshas are the rest. So how that makes sense is the subject of a lot of spilt ink. Yeah. But that's the Medrash. That's the tradition. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Soli Olam Vayit is not a part of the Chumash.
It makes sense together with the other sentences.
Why not?
When you say,
blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever. Why not?
Yeah, but when you're saying Kel
Melech, the glory of his kingdom, yeah.
You're describing him or you're addressing
Kel Melech,
him?
Neman?
No.
Yeah.
No, or Baruch Shem?
It's one and the other.
No, Kel Melech Neman is what you say before Kriya Shema if you're davening without a minion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So
maybe.
What?
Yeah.
Are you addressing Hashem or are you just describing Hashem?
Kel Melech Neman, describing.
And then Shema Yisrael. How did the
reason for the Kel Melech Neman is because there's a tradition that the words of Kriya Shema are equivalent to the number of body parts. So let's say Ramach Evarim. So it says 248 words in Kriya Shema. So the problem is there aren't 248 words. It's missing three.
Oh.
So how do you supply the extra three? So there are right. So there are two ways. The way that I think the Zohar describes is that you say the Chazan repeats Hashem Elokeichem Emes at the end. So the Hashem Elokeichem Emes counts as the extra
three
words, even though the word Emes is not part of Krishma. It's part of the bracha after Krishma. Mm-hmm. But though that repetition of the three words fills in the extra three. And the more ancient tradition, actually, is that they recited Kel Melech Neman that before Kriya Shema, which adds an extra three words.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So a lot of people didn't like this edition of Kel Melech Neman because they said it's mafsik between the bracha on Kriya Shema, Bocher Bemo Yisrael Biava, and Kriya Shema. So that's why, at least in a minyan, we don't say Kel Melech Neman, but if you're davening without a minion, so don't have the Chazan repeating Hashem Elokeichem Emes, so then the normal minag is that you do say Kel Melech Neman, but others were upset, even in such a case, that it's an issue of hefsek with the bracha. That's why, according to yet another approach, is that when you answer Amen to the bracha of HaBucher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava, so Amen stands for Kel Melech Neman. So, I mean, not really, but it can stand. It's like an acronym for Kel Melech Neman. So, and then you answer Amen to that bracha, so then you're for sure good. That's why the old Ashkenazi minhag was that to be extremely makbid, to answer Amen to the bracha of HaBucher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava of the Chazan. But it's interesting, then the Mishneh Berurah came along echoing some Sephardi poskim, which is not the old Ashkenazi tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, no, maybe even answering Amen is not really correct. As a hefsek between the bracha of on Kriyat Shema and then Kriyat Shema, because even though it's not really a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's sort of a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's really a Birkas HaShvach. They're praising God for themes related to Kriyat Shema. So he said maybe you should be mafsig there, and the Mishnah Berurah Kedarko is machmir on things, so he says that you should preferably not answer amen there, that you should finish the bracha together with the chazan. But the old Ashkenazi Mesorah, based partially, first of all, is that you're allowed to be mafsig there, and second of all, that you should be bedavka answer amen there because of the issue of Kel Melech Neman. Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago, maybe within the last 2 months,
yeah,
I was rebuked by my seatmate, I think it was on a Friday night,
yeah,
for saying amen.
Rebuked. Sounds harsh.
And she,
okay,
this person is a tough character. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So she, being obviously it was she, seatmate, okay, says, it's an interruption.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I pointed to it in the art scroll, but it's right there. Well, they're wrong. So, and this person should know better.
Chaval, my face, as a reaction to what you just said, was not recorded on the tape. I wish I could record my face, but it's not correct. Really, 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 we should answer Amen at that point.
How was the main of Shulka, though? You know, the
same way we're machmir that, because we want no interruption whatsoever between Goel Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei, so we're machmir, even though there are pshitas, even there it's allowed. So there were machmir, so I was extended over there. There should be no interruption whatsoever. Really, really, one should answer Amen at that point.
So you daven yourself, I didn't get what
we're saying. And, so the issue of Kel Melech Neman when one's davening alone is a little bit of... if there are no brachas, if you're just repeating Kriya Shema, you know, like you said it early, too early in the evening, you daven Ma'ariv, and then you're repeating it later, so then, of course, there's no problem to say Kel Melech Neman. But others aren't choshesh, bothered by the whole problem that the words, number of words in Kriya Shema doesn't correspond exactly to the number of words in Kriya Shema. I say, no, it's approximate. No, you have to be.
So that number is not exactly the number of bones in the body or something, is it either?
I think they're, I don't know, I never counted it, but I think it is cheshbened out very very carefully, is my understanding. Yeah? Oh, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchut, that's different. That's what our tradition, that Yaakov Avinu said that, even though it's not recorded in the Chumash, it's not part of the text of that Moshe recorded. But there was this pasuk of Shema Yisrael was an oral tradition among Bnei Yisrael, even before it was written down in the Chumash, that when everyone gathered around Yaakov Avinu's deathbed, and he was worried, he said, you know, my father and grandfather, not all their kids were fully frum. So I want to make sure that all my kids are frum. Is there someone among you who's... Not fully religious. So they answered, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord is the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So they said Shema Yisrael as a response to Yaakov Avinu. So once he heard that, he said, Oh, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam. He gave praise to God that all his children were from. Okay, that's that story. Isn't recorded again explicitly in the Chumash, but that's the background to that that idea. So that's why we say it quietly, because it's an insertion that's not part of the actual text of the Chumash.
Yom Kippur, though.
On Yom Kippur, so that's why that when the Malachim say Shema, so they say Baruch Shem Kivod, because they echo Yaakov Avinu, and not because they echo Yaakov Avinu, they don't echo Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say Baruch Shem as part of their regular recitation of Kriya Shema. That's why on Yom Kippur, we're close to Malachim, we're as close as we get to Malachim, therefore on Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem out loud. That's the story with those two. Okay, so in terms of which part of Kriya Shema is Daraisa, again, the Sheet of the Rambam is all three parashas of Daraisa. So other Rishonim say that the first two are deraisa, but the third is not deraisa, because the first two mention etc. Others say the whole first parsha is deoraisa, and the rest of Kriya Shema is derabanan, so the second parsha is not deraisa, because the first parsha is the one that contains Shema Yisrael and mentions v'dibarta b'am. This seems to be the shita of Rashi, because Rashi famously says in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, when there's a whole discussion about the fact that in many communities they used to daven Ma'ariv early, so they wouldn't say Kriya Shema Bezman. So Rashi says, there's no problem because you say Kriya Shema Bezman with Kriya Shema Lamita. We know that Kriya Shema Lamita is only the first paragraph, even though many people are machmir nowadays to say all three paragraphs as A, an extra firm kite, and B, just to repeat the whole thing just in case they said it too early. But classically, Kriya Shema Lamita is just the first paragraph. So Rashi says, no problem. So because you're Yotzei de Daraisa with Kriya Shema Al Hamita, so Rashi seems to hold that the first paragraph is Daraisa. And then we have the Shita, many Rishonim, many Rishonim, which is that it's just the first pasuk that is deraisa, and the rest is derabanan.
Shema Yisrael.
So the there's a very big raya for this in the Gemara, that the Gemara says, talks about how Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the compiler of the Mishnah, was giving shir all morning long. So some of his talmidim said, "Nu, when does he say Krishma? No. If he's giving shir all morning long, he's talking. When does he say Krishma?" So the answer said, "Some of the other talmidim, the more seasoned talmidim, say, watch him very carefully. Remember, at one point he like goes like this and appears to be thinking or something in the shir. That's when he says Krishma. So he takes a little break in the middle of the shir to go like this. That's why." We go like this during Krishma. It's not a halachic
requirement.
Right, so it's not a halachic requirement to go like this during Krishma, but that's it's based on this idea that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi used to do that in order to make believe that he was giving the shiur, and he was just hiding himself so he could have kavana on the first pasuk of Krishma. So that sounds like pretty much like a slam dunk raya. That he just said that pasuk, so how. Okay, but many Rishonim have other shitas. Then there is another shita that Krishma completely is the Rabbanan. It's also not a very accepted shita, but it says in the Chumash, V'dibarta ban b'shiv techa v'veisecha, talking about the words of Torah in general. That means that on a deraisa level, one is required to speak words of Torah in the morning and in the evening. It doesn't specifically have to be these paragraphs at all. It could be any words of Torah. So, and it's just Chazal told us that specifically they ordered us to fulfill the mitzvah of learning some Torah in the morning and evening with this set of parshias. So again, that's not the accepted psak. The psak is that at least the first pasuk is the Raisa, and perhaps more. And we generally, again, I can't say it's absolutely required, but the general practice is that we are choshish for at least the idea that the first two parshas are deraisa, which is why when you repeat Krishma in the evening, if you say Krishma too early, so the general practice is to say at least the first two parshas. And if you're already saying the first two parshas, okay, you already said more than two thirds, so what's one more? So you might as well say the other parsha, and then you also get make sure to fulfill the idea of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim at nighttime. So that's what people normally do, is when you repeat Krishma, you say all three parshas. Okay, so according to the Sefer Chinuch, the only thing that's the rice in Krishma is the very first pasuk. Ve'al pasuk zeh ne'emar, v'dibarto ban b'shivtecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shoch b'cha u'v'kumecha, when you sleep and when you get up. Uva perush al zeh, b'shoch shebenei adam shochvenu v'shoch shebenei adam kamen. That one should recite Krishma at the time when people lie down and at the time that people are awake. So,
not while you are.
Oh, okay. So how could you, when you're lying down, the simple understanding is sleeping. So you can't recite Krishma when you're sleeping. So that's not, nobody says you should recite Krishma when you're awake and you should recite Krishma when you're asleep. That doesn't work.
Somebody notes so well they can do it in their sleep. That makes
no sense.
Yeah,
so
okay.
When you say so, woke?
You could do it so well, so you know it so well, you can do it in your sleep. So that's, but Beis Shammai holds it's not referring to the time of day per se, it's referring to the positions. That you're supposed to do it at nighttime when you're lying down, and you're supposed to stand up during the daytime. So,
as discussed in Sukkah 3a.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ah, right, Beis Shammai told it, right? So the, so we're not supposed to do that. That's why generally it's recommended to say Krishma sitting down, because you're in neither of the positions. But technically speaking, as long as you don't bedavka do it standing in the morning, let's say you're so exhausted you're going to fall on your face, so you want to say the whole davening standing up, that's okay. It's just you can't specifically get up for Krishma, because in order to be choshesh for Beis Shammai, you're not supposed to do that, because we paskin like Beis Hillel. So it's a bad idea to be too machmir.
It's actually the Reformed Jews stand up because it's the only Hebrew in the davening, so they want to get
up. Okay, but they do them in the evening. It's okay to do it to specifically get up. But again, normally you do it seated both times. So, but the way Beis Hillel understand is that it's purely talking about the time of day and not about the position that one is in. So what does it mean, read it at night, at the time when people are lying down? On a Daraisa level, one has the entire night to recite Krishma. We know the first Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, tells us that you're really supposed to say Krishma before Chatzos, before midnight. And then you have the famous story that the sons of Rabbi Gamliel were at a party, a wedding probably, all night long. They stayed up very late. They stayed up very late at night. They got home really late. And he said, young man, we told you you had to be back by a certain time. So they said, sorry, we were at a wedding. So he says, so they said, oh, but we're too late. We missed Krishma because it's after Chatzos. So he says, no. You still have to do it until Alos HaShachar, until dawn, because the only reason that Chazal told us that we had to do it until before Chatzos is because of the people shouldn't get too close to Alos HaShachar. In other words, if you say, I have until Alos HaShachar, and you go past Chatzos, then you start getting more and more tired, and you might fall asleep. So you're not supposed to do it after Chatzos. You're supposed to recite Krishma before Chatzos. What? Fine. So that's so it's until Amud Alos HaShachar you have until to recite the nighttime Krishma. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that in an even an emergency situation, you have until Hanetzachama, until sunrise, to recite the nighttime Krishma. So it's interesting that there's a time between Alos HaShachar, between dawn and sunrise, where you could, it's possible to recite both the nighttime Krishma and the daytime Krishma. You can't do it together in one day. For some reason you forgot to recite the nighttime Shema and you say it after Alos HaShachar, then you have to wait until after sunrise to recite the daytime Krishma. You can't recite both of them in the period between dawn and sunrise, but that's not so good. Really, it should be before Alos HaShachar that you recite the Shema, and certainly it should be before before Chatzos when possible. Ucheinyan shekosov. Ushchavtem ve'ein macharid. You shall lie down, and there should be no one bothering you. V'chein lo yishkav al yochal teref. That he shall not lie down till he eats his prey. Demashma kol sha'ash shchiva. That is talking about the whole time that people are lying down. Not specifically the time that they're in the process of going to bed, but rather in the time that they are on their beds, that they are physically lying down. Ve'od shebnei adam chalukim heim b'midosam. People go to sleep at different times. You have people who are night owls, and you have people who are early birds. Ve'inyan hashchiva yesh mehem she'einam shochvim ad chatzi alayla. Some people don't go to sleep until midnight. And the times of Chazal, this would probably be the richer people who could afford candles.
Right.
Ve'yesh ad sofa. There are some people who don't go to sleep till the end of the nighttime. These are aristocrats who can stay up all night partying, and then they can sleep during the day. There's some people who go to bed immediately at the beginning of the night, which is interesting. I assume nobody goes to sleep before nighttime. Everybody goes to sleep after night, whereas you have, you know, in northern latitudes in the summer, so you have the night falling extremely late. And most people do go to sleep before before nightfall. So, okay. But nevertheless, the halacha is already formulated, and you have to go to sleep. You have to say Krishma after Tzeisa Kochavim. O'imnechein amru, shizman Krishma, ba'arvin, misha, she'akohanim, nichnosim, lechol, bitchumasan. So I assume what a lot of people do in those types of places is you daven early ma'ariv after plagim mincha, and then you have to set an alarm or something. There's like Krishma after Tzeis Kochavim. So the Gemara says clearly. At all? You shouldn't go there. Seriously. A Jew should not go to a place where there's no Tzeis Kochavim. That's my psak. It's true. So the you get into a lot of shailas in such places. But there's no Jewish community in a place where there's no Tzeis Kochavim. The biggest shaila of a place where there was a Jewish community and might not be Tzeis Kochavim in the summer is St. Petersburg. Mm. Or we don't consider him a saint, so we'll use the Yiddish name of Petterburg. Petterburg is what they used to call it. So Petterburg, there's it gets in the summer, in the height of the summer, it only gets to the point where you can maybe see three stars with some difficulty around. You know, it's not, that's not so much it. So for Kriya Shema is a halbatzara. So Motzei Shabbos is a worse issue. Motzei Shabbos is a big problem. Because of Motzei Shabbos, we're more machmer than that. We try to, we want to see three small stars clearly in the sky. But nobody, hardly any Jews live there. I mean, there are some.
That's like the Pale Settlement, I think. So they,
right, they were allowed there.
So I made sure that Jews wouldn't be,
Right, there were, I mean, there were some Jews who lived there. Reb Itzel Petterberger was a famous rabbi. So he would, there were a few Jews who were allowed to live there. And, but now there are Jews who live there. Under communism, there wasn't a Pale Settlement. Worse things, but there are certainly Jews who live there now. Even in the normal Jewish communities, they're pretty far north, like Gateshead. There's no Shaila, and even in the height of the summer, that there is Tesu Chavim. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos. I mean, that's the Stam Mishnah. Says Mishash Shekvayim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasa. Now, at the time that the Kohanim are allowed to go to eat their truma, which is the official halachic night time of Tzitzit Kochavim, when you can see three stars in the sky. However, the Gemara brings other shittas of when the first time is. B'shasha ani nichnas lechol pito b'leil Shabbos, when people start the Suda on Friday nights, which might be before Tzitzit Kochavim, there are different shittas brought in the Gemara. Nevertheless, almost all the poskim rule in accordance with the Stam Mishnah, which is that the earliest time for Kriya Shema is after Tzeis HaKochavim. So one major exception to this rule is the famous Tosfos. Even though it's such a tiny minority of Rishonim, it got major prominence because the first Tosfos in Shas, in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, talks about famously how the Ashkenazi Minag, because they lived at much more northerly latitudes than Eretz Yisrael. Should just show you, Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah wasn't designed to be observed in at these ridiculously far north latitudes. In New York, we have it very easy, relatively. So it's, New York is not much more farther far north than Eretz Yisrael. But since they lived in such northerly latitudes, so in the summer especially, at least do it in the winter also, it would be extremely difficult to daven Ma'ariv so late. And also used to daven Mincha Ma'ariv together. So they used to, especially in the summer, they used to daven early after Plag, Mincha the Ma'ariv. So at least the Ma'ariv part was after Plag. So there was this whole discussion about how that could be. I told you already, Rashi said that it's no problem because the davening could be after Plag. We know that there's a machlokes in the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Brachos between the Chachamim and Reb Yehuda. So the Chachamim hold that you can, seemingly, according to the Talmud Bavli. Yerushalmi has a different understanding, but according to the Talmud Bavli, according to the Chachamim, the majority opinion of the sages in the Mishnah, the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv is Tzeis, is nightfall. But Reb Yehuda holds that the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv is Plag HaMincha. So for regarding the davening, okay, so no problem. We go like Reb Yehuda. The Gemara says you're allowed to go like Reb Yehuda. So the problem is the Kriya Shema. So Rashi says that the Kriya Shema, the main Kriya Shema there, we use the Biyotzi, the Derais is the Kriya Shema Lamita, which is after Tzeis HaKochavim. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, how could it be? That's a little dinky Kriya Shema, relatively. The main Kriya Shema with the Brachas is the one that you say in Shul. It must be. What does it mean that we see that the Gemara brings other shittas about when the earliest time to say Kriya Shema is in the evening? So maybe when Reb Yehuda holds that the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv is Plag, maybe he holds like he's another one of these dissenting shitas. Maybe he holds even Kriya Shema, you could say, starting at Plag HaMincha. So he says, no, we really yotze Kriya Shema even from Plag HaMincha. So all the rest of the Rishonim go to town, they say, that's completely untenable. There's no way you can be yotze Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim. Yeah.
So the Birkas Kriya Shema are not, in fact, Birkas HaMitzvah.
Correct.
Because otherwise you'd be saying a Bracha L'Telef if it were, you know, if we weren't saying it at a time when you were yotze Kriya Shema. Right?
So there are many Rishonim that hold the Rambam and the Ravid when they're discussing early Shabbos, they make clear that this is the case. I mean, Rambam is not so clear, but the Ravid is very clear. But the Rambam Pashas holds this way as well. that Birkas Kriyashma, even though they're not, you don't say Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosa Vitzivanu Likra Kriyashma, they're just brachas of Shevach that discuss themes related to Kriyashma. Nevertheless, they hold that they can only be said in Zman Kriyashma, when the correct time for Zman Kriyashma, at night. And the morning we'll discuss in a few minutes, hopefully. So, according to that, yeah, it's really b'isser. It's not correct, according to the Rambam and the Ravid, that what saying Birkas Kriyashma is when we make early Shabbos. Really, we should just be saying Jadavni Shmon Esrei and not saying Kriyashma or the Brachas at all. But the normative Shita is that the Brachas are more connected to Tfilas Ma'ariv than they are to Birka, the Shema per se. So therefore, you are allowed to say Birkas Kriyashma at a time where you're allowed to daven Ma'ariv. However, some Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, of course, holds that after Plagim Mincha, you can make Birkas Kriyashma. But there are some Rishonim that hold that you're, the Meiri, Rabbeinu Yonah, that hold that you're only allowed to recite Birkas Kriyashma after Shkia, after sunset, even though you're not Yotzei Kriyashma then, because the Bracha says, Asher Bidvaro Ma'ariv Aravim. So it has to be that you recite it after Shkia. But we normally hold that we can recite it earlier, either because of Plagim Mincha, or because of what we call, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Tchila Shkia, the beginning of sunset, when the sun starts to get dark and starts to sink. That's also, it also makes sense to say Asher Bidvaro Ma'ariv Aravim, the sun's starting to go down, so it's appropriate to say the Brachas at that time. But there is, yeah. I think Rav Shechter, when he makes early Shabbos, he only daven Shmon Esrei with the congregation. He just sits quietly during Birkas Kriyashma, pretends to say along with them, and then he'll say Kriyashma with a brachas later in the evening. There are a lot of Rishonim that hold that is indeed the correct procedure for such a situation.
In which case they say all three.
So he'll say, yeah. I think he won't even say Birkas Kriyashma before Tzeis. I think I was with him once when he davened Ma'ariv at a minyan that davened after Shkia, I think even. And then when he got home, before his wife was putting finishing touches on the meal, he starts to go, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Bidvaro Ma'ariv Aravim Chachma V'Seich Sharin, and then it says Kriyashma, and then the whole thing. Okay, so, but the Lamaisa we paskin that Kriyashma at nighttime has to be after Tzeis Gochavim, after three stars come out. Even if you daven earlier, you have to repeat Kriyashma at the star later. Until the until dawn. What does it mean, the time that people arise? What does it mean? From the beginning of the day, so some say right away from Alos HaShachar, but the more opinion. Is that the correct time to recite Kriyashma in the morning is when you could cease a moderately good acquaintance from a distance of four amos and recognize him. Okay? So we have various estimates.
Four amos?
Four amos, like 8 feet. No less, probably. 6 to 8 feet. 6 to 8 feet, yeah.
Almost 2 feet?
Between 1.5 and 2, whatever, yeah. So that's what we call Misha Yakir. If you look in Zmanim charts, so Misha Yakir is the time that that you can recognize someone like that. Okay.
Did they actually do that experimentally? You know, just.
Yes.
Yeah, really?
I mean, well, first of all, before clocks, you know, were ubiquitous at least. So the way you told Misha Yakir is, you went outside and you estimated how, you know, you could see someone at that time. So it's approximate. It doesn't mean you have to measure it out to the millimeter. But now we have a lot of things that interfere with this, like we have street lights, so it's not really going to be. So there are people who did experiments, and they found that the times from Misha Yakir that are printed in the Zmanim charts are pretty basically accurate. When the sun is 10 or 11 degrees approximately below the horizon in the morning, so it's like usually like an hour before. I mean, it depends on the time of year, but something like that, hour before sunrise. So that's when you can start saying Kriyashma. Ad shalosh shos shlemos. Until 3 full hours into the day. We know that the halachic times are in shos manios, meaning it's like using a sundial. You divide the time between morning and evening into 12, and each one of those is 1 hour. So each day of the year, an hour is a different amount of time. in the summer they'll be longer, in the winter they will be shorter. So how do we get this figure of Shel Shleimos? First of all, I say Shel Shleimos, because there are shitas that hold that it's only until the beginning of the third hour, meaning just after 2 hours, that you have to say Kriya Shema. So that's not the accepted shita at all. We hold that it's until, we hold the very much like the Sefer HaChinuch, that's until the end of the third hour that you say you could have to say Kriya Shema in the morning. It has to be done before this time. So how do we get this? It's so much shorter, the time to say the morning Shema, than it is to say the evening Shema. The evening Shema you have all night, basically. Mm-hmm. And the morning Shema you have only 3 hours. Why don't you have the whole day?
Because
Uvikum Mecha sounds, apparently that's the received tradition, that it's the time when people actually get up, as opposed to the time when people are lying down. So this is a little bit difficult. The Mishnah, famously, Rabbi Yeshua, Shita in the Mishnah, is that the reason you have until 3 hours is because that's when princes get up. They could stay up late partying, they have enough candles, they're very rich, so they get up at 3 hours. It was, you know, that's whatever, 9 a.m. So that's, it changes during different times of year, but approximately 9 a.m. So this was considered like the laziest sleeping in time that people could possibly sleep in would be until about 9 a.m. So if you ask...
So Hasidim are lazier than princes, I guess.
That's not going.
Well,
they start dobbing at 10 now.
Oh,
officially, the reason Chassidim daven so late is because they're supposed to be making preparations, not because they're supposed to be sleeping in. I mean, it's true that Chassidish schedule, it works on a much later time. Like, they start, they daven much later at night, and then they go have the Suda at home, the Shabbos Suda, then they go to the Rebbe's Tish, and they go to sleep barely. The whole schedule is a night-based schedule. If you go to Bnei Brak, I remember, you know, been in Bnei Brak late at night, you have young mothers calmly pushing strollers around and doing their shopping at 9, 10, 11 p.m. You know, they're just more a night.
Like that all week.
They sleep in later in the morning. But officially, the reason that they're dive in later. Then. What?
It's cooler.
She's right. Right, again, if you're wearing thick stockings in August in Bnei Brak, so then yes, you might prefer to go outside only at nighttime. Okay, that's also true. So the official reason that Chassidim daven late is because of making preparations before it. Maybe they sleep a little later, but officially they're supposed to learn Chassidus to get them in the mood to daven and go to the mikvah and et cetera, et cetera. And then they daven late, but it's really obviously according to halacha, it's really not correct. It should be done. You're supposed to say Kriya Shema ideally with the brachas, if possible, as though in before the third hour of the day, which is zman Kriya Shema.
So where do we get the two times of zman?
Magen Avram versus Gra. That there is a major machlokas rishon about how you calculate the shows manios, whether you calculate them from alosa shachar to tzeisa kochavim, from dawn to dusk, or whether it's zricha to shkia, from sunrise to sunset. So if you start at sunrise, it's obviously later. So that's why people like to embrace the shita of the gra. That was his opinion. And other rishon, the Rambam, the Levush, other poskim as well, held that the Zman is from sunrise to sunset, so that's a much later Zman than it is if you start at Alos HaShachar, which is much earlier, and you calculate the hours in that way. But the truth is, most Rishonim hold like the Magen Avraham. The Ramban, the Rashba, a lot of Rishonim hold like the earlier Zman. The problem is, you have a few problems, though. There's a historical problem, which is that the Shos Manios, the Pashtus, is what it means, is that you use a sundial to measure them. That's how people measured hours in the Greco-Roman world, is by a sundial. So when the Chazal speak about Shos, hours, they didn't define it. They knew what they were talking about. This was hours in those times. And they use a sundial, which obviously only works from sunrise to sunset. So that's why the Pashtus is, it is correct, the Shita of the Gra, that you have until a little later to say Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah writes a line that he says, but you're really supposed to say Kriya Shema as early as possible. So the whole Shita is only in an emergency situation. Really, of course you're going to be Yotzei the Shita, the Magen Avraham, because you're supposed to say Kriya Shema very, very early in the morning.
How much time difference is it between one and another?
I don't know, approximately. It depends on the time of year, but it may be like 45 minutes.
Look at zamanim.com or something like that. They tell you every day what the...
Another problem with the measuring from dawn to dusk is that... This is a whole long discussion, but the basic problem is that it comes out uneven because dawn is much before sunrise than Tzeizik Uchavim is after sunset. So you measure from one to the other, so the midday Chatzos doesn't come out in the middle. That meaning the sun is on the topmost point, which obviously comes out in the middle if you're going from sunrise to sunset. So there are some issues with the Shita of the Magen Avraham, but many Rishonim hold like that. That's why many poskim hold that lechatchila you should be choshesh for the Magen Avraham. But strictly speaking, the psak that's accepted nowadays is like the gra that you have until the 3 hours from sunrise to sunset to recite the Shema. There is another Shita based on a Mishnah, which talks about if someone's in the mikvah and is worried that it's going to be sunrise before they can get out of the mikvah and get dressed. So it talks about that you should say Shema right away in the mikvah, even though we're not supposed to do that. So you cover yourself a little bit and you say the Shema. So the Rambam and other Rishonim prove from this Mishnah that really this whole 3 hours business is only bidyeved. That it's only if you fail to recite Kriya Shema before sunrise. There is a sheet in the Mishnah that sunrise is the end of the time. That you don't have the 3 hours at all. But Rambam holds that even if you hold the 3 hours, it's only bidyeved. Really, even according to that sheet, lechatchila, you're supposed to recite Kriya Shema before sunrise. Can you imagine for teenagers if you paskin like the other sheet in the Mishnah that you only had until sunrise to say Kriya Shema? It'd be very, very problematic.
So if you daven nates, obviously, I think I did once in my life. I can't remember the details too well. When exactly do you daven? I mean, there's some very rigid...
Correct. So that's partially because of the shita about Kriya Shema that's supposed to be before sunrise, and partially because of the tefillah, that the tefillah is supposed to be after sunrise, because it says, Yirucha im shemesh. So in order to balance these two things, the most ideal davening time is what we call Vasikin. That's when you recite Kriya Shema immediately before sunrise, and then you time it so that you finish the Birkas Kriya Shema at sunrise, and then you start davening Shmon Esrei exactly at sunrise.
I remember Shavuos, that's what I did once.
Shavuos, yeah, a lot of people daven Vasikin on Shavuos, because people are up all night anyways. You might as well daven at the correct time. So that really is the ideal time to daven Shacharis. First of all, nowadays it's not so hard to daven Vasikin. That the sunrise is at like 7:10, I think, nowadays. So you go to it's like a 6:30 minion. A lot of people get up for 6:30 minion to go to work, or because they're early risers or whatever. So it's very, very easy to daven Vasikin. I mean, some people get up later. I'm not saying you have to get up then, but if you're getting up around that time, so then it's very, very reasonable and very easy to daven Vasikin. But that's because of this idea that lechatchila you're supposed to say Kriya Shema before sunrise. Even though most poskim don't hold like that, they just hold that you're just an idea to say Kriya Shema as early as possible after. But it's not per se that you have to say it before sunrise. Really, according to the way we paskin, you have until 3 hours. It's just lechatchila you're supposed to do it early. So one advantage that we have actually is we have an early Kriya Shema. That really lechatchila you're supposed to say Kriya Shema al Seder Abrachas. That's like with the Abrachas. But we have the Kriya Shema in Le'olam Yehe Adam, that we say an early Kriya Shema during Korbanos. Mm-hmm. So that could prove very useful. Because as we mentioned before, most poskim seem to hold that only the first pasuk of Kriya Shema is Deraisa, and that's what you say in Le'olam Yehe Adam. Mm-hmm. Or some people say the first paragraph, whatever. But originally it was just the first pasuk that you said in Le'olam Yehe Adam. So if you're afraid that you're going to say Kriya Shema too late, so let's say you're shul, Arshul. Let's take the example of Arshul. Arshul, we always make Zman Kriya Shema of the Gra with a brachas. So that's good. But let's say you want to be Choshesh for the Magen Avraham. So appropriate thing to do for the earlier Zman is when you should say, even at home, before you start coming to shul, there's no way you need to say that specifically in shul, that you say Lo Olam Yehe Adam and the first pasuk of Kriya Shema at home, when you, soon after you wake up, so you get Kriya Shema as early as possible, and you say, you think to yourself, or Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes like this, that you should make it Al HaTanai. You should recite Kriya Shema with a condition that if it's better to recite Kriya Shema now to have Kavana to be Yotze, then I want to be Yotze now. And if it's better to be Yotze later and have it Al Seder HaBrachos, then you should, I don't want to be Yotze now and I want to be Yotze later. So that's the Stam Tanai in Kriya Shema of Lola Mihadam. And especially nowadays, so I, you know, it's a great idea. So I came out, because I don't know if I naturally wake up this early, but with my kids, so I'm especially during the winter, during the summer, I hope this will not be the case, but during the winter, I'm always up before sunrise. So I try as soon as possible after getting up to say Lola Mi'adam, and you say the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, and you think if it's better to say it before sunrise, then I want to be no. If it's not, if it's better to say it later with the brachas to have kavana to be Yotze later. So you shouldn't wait to say Lola Mi'adam in shul particularly. You should say it as soon as possible after you get up. You either get the mila of saying it according to the Magen Avram, or that you say it before sunrise.
Is it better to say all three paragraphs?
Arguably, but then it's a little bit more of a shtuch to saying it Al Seder HaBrachos if you mamish say the whole thing before. The Vilna Gaon held, actually, it's not clear why, maybe it was just because of Birkas HaTorah, okay, but it's not very clear why the procedure I just described shouldn't work, but the Vilna Gaon and some other Bosgim were very insistent that you should dafka not have kavana not to be yotze before during the Kriya Shema v'lo mi'adam, because you want to be yotze the mitzvah for sure with the brachas. So according to the normative of psak and the vast majority of posts, it'd be better to follow the procedure that I just described. But then the question becomes: so why don't you have the whole day to recite Kriya Shema of the whole day? Below Mashmalahu Akima Kol Hayom Kemo Ashchiva. That Chazal do not understand that you have the entire day to recite the Kriya Shema of the daytime, like you have to recite the nighttime Kriya Shema. You have the whole nighttime. Shein Derech Echad Mi Bnei Adam Shehu Bari. There's no healthy person Shiyaku Mitaso Besof Hayom. Afilu Bemtzo. Nobody gets up at midday, and certainly not at sunset. So. Have you met contemporary teenagers? You know, they I think it's not at all unheard of for if they get up at 11 or whatever. So, yeah, okay. It's again, because now we have the capacity to go to sleep later. If you go to sleep when it gets dark, but now we have so much artificial lighting. So, okay. So the question is, according to the Kesef Mishnah, the commentary of Rabbi Yosef Karo on the Rambam, he seems to say that this idea that you only have until the third hour to recite Kriya Shema is only the Rabbanan, because Chazal, because they give you the reason, because that's when princes get up. Nobody gets up later than 3 hours of the day. So it leaves room. I think Rav Shechter talks about this in some of his Shirim on Kriya Shema. If that's true, that this man of 3 hours is only the Rabbanan and not the Araisa, then maybe it's based on the latest normal arising of the time. Now, princes can get up much later. Now, princes maybe get up at 11, so maybe the Sosman Krishma should be at 11. So this is not, obviously, anywhere near a normative understanding of the halacha, but it serves so that teenagers who are find it extremely difficult to get up very early, and they're just drawn into sleep, they shouldn't feel so guilty. You should still say Kriya Shema, you should still daven when you get up, and you get some sort of mitzvah for it. But obviously they should try to get up earlier. That's no question.
During school year, they have to get up for school.
Right.
Summertime.
Right. So weekends, whatever. But they should not feel guilty, overly guilty. Feel a little guilty, okay, but they should not beat themselves up with guilt about sleeping in. Kilomar misof shalosh at so. Oh, sorry. Vav amr zichron levracha b'kriya shma. The shachar is the mikol mako mikan veilach, that continuing for the rest of the day. Kilomar misof shalosh at so fayom, from the end of the third hour until the end of the day. Mishelo kara lo hifsid shelo yuchal likrosa. im birchoseh. So you do not lose the fact that you cannot, as if you cannot read it with the brachas. So this line doesn't exactly read right, and people apparently have different girsos of the Sefer Chinuch, whether he means that you're no longer allowed to recite the brachas, or you are allowed to recite the brachas. So that's if he says you're not allowed to recite the brachas anymore, then that's a big chiddush, because according to the vast majority of Rishonim, you would be allowed to recite the brachas later. The question is how late. According to the way we paskin, actually you only have one more hour after Zman Kriya Shema to recite the brachas. But other Rishonim hold that it's either until Chatzos or the whole day. But normally we hold that if you don't daven before Zman Tfila, which is the fourth hour of the day, the latest time to Lechatchila recite Shacharis in the morning, so then you recite Kriya Shema for the rest of the day, but without reciting the brachas.
So he should start davening at 10 a.m. in the winter, you know, on Shabbos, or it was, as certain groups do, then you can still make it according to that sheet.
Well, they rely on the sheet, though, that you're allowed to recite Birchas Krishma until Chatzos, or later than the fourth hour of the day, even though that's not the way the Psak is recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. So you have Shita that holds, the Vilna Gaon apparently holds like this, is that if you... To get the mile of smichas geula litvila, that we know that you're supposed to recite the Shmon Esrei in the morning immediately after Birkas Krishma. And that's a gevaldika mile. So in order to get that, you have to be yotze the Krishma at the time you're actually yotze Krishma, which is why he seems to be more insistent on not being yotze in lola mihe odam. That you want to be actually yotze Krishma and say the brachos, and then recite Shmon Esrei right away. So according to that, if you said Kriya Shema without the brachas before the third hour of the day, and then you daven before Zman Tfila, you don't get the Maila of Smichas Geula Tfila, even though you physically said, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and then immediately daven Shmon Esrei, because you weren't Yotzei Kriya Shema with that time. So another thing to keep in mind, that you really shouldn't daven too late, and it's certainly more correct to daven Kriya Shema with the brachas before 3 hours of the day.